goodness. If you come to hear a man that is polished and has it all together and is scripted to the T, well, you come to the wrong place. God didn't put me in that sort of category of preachers. I'm just a wretched old sinner saved by grace, and God saw fit many years ago to say, young boy, you're going to preach my word. You're going to teach my word. And I was hoping that Miss Park, yeah, there you are. She got the big old hat on over there. I've been in Hayden all my life. Went to Hayden High School, graduate of 89. But Miss Parker was my kindergarten teacher way over there at one time. And bless her heart, I think I got a whipping every day. I was a kindergarten dropout because at that time it wasn't mandatory. And so I had enough whippings, and so I said, Mama, I don't want to go. That woman to go beat me again. I deserved it. And one thing that I do recall more than anything was on Thanksgiving, you had a crock pot that you made a Thanksgiving soup. And as y'all can tell, I love to eat. And I was one of the first people to get over there with my little bowl, styrofoam bowl, and she filled that bad boy up. And I went over there and I went, whoa, whoa, and spit most of it out and had a burnt tongue for about a week. So you need the message last week of being patient, I did not respect that in kindergarten during Thanksgiving. It burnt my tongue. And the short of it is that my roots are here in the Hayden community. Anywhere from Mount High, Rice Town, Smoke Rise, all the way to Hog Mountain over there near Nectar, I consider that, and I'm leaving out Blount Springs, Sibleyville, my goodness, Hayden is a big community that needs Jesus, amen? We need to be there for them. And this very church has been a staple institution of faith for the Hayden metropolitan area. We're going to be reading, if you will, turn your Bibles in the ESV version I'm going to be reading from. And I'm at 50 years old. I don't got no eyesight, so I'm going to put my glasses on. And we're going to be doing an old subject that we have probably heard preached, taught many, many, many times. And furthermore, you probably even saw it many times on your felt board when you was in elementary school. And back when they were allowed to do the gospel in our schools. And so we're going to be reading Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which we can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And we know who that is. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for the saints. And I love what Paul says here. and also for me. Pray for our preachers, church. For also for me, that words may be given to me to open my mouth, words may be given to me to open my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Heavenly Father, God, help me, Lord God. Loosen my lips, dear Father. Calm my nerves and allow me to preach the message that you've given to me to deliver to the church of the living God. We pray in your name. Amen. It doesn't take a smart man to realize that we are in, and what I'm about to say has been said over and over and over again from the time I was a child till now, in that we live in perilous times, church. Everywhere you go, the marketplaces are a place that you didn't have comfort in going in the past. I could start naming so many things that are going on in our country right now, in the world itself, with COVID, with different kind of variances, with crimes in our streets and ravaging our city streets. We've got people that are disheartened. They're at their wits' end. Death on every corner. Me and Jennifer both have lost a mother and a father who is going on to be in heaven. And we're at a loss. Many times we're at a loss of where we are. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but you know who you are. I, Brother Tim, am at my wit's end trying to keep myself together on a daily basis. We had revival some time back, and I came up and testified how my heart is just completely broken for how things are going these days. But I tell you what, God's a good God, and he's given me a refreshing new word and a new call in my life that he is still in control. He is in control. He's even given us things, and this is what God did. He didn't have to give me some new revelation to make me rethink what I'm thinking. Guess what he did? He took me to the old story of the soldier. We are in a battle, church. We're in the battle for the soul of America. We're in a battle for the soul of this church right now. We're shepherdless, in a sense. We need direction from an almighty God. Now you can say amen. We need a stir, a movement in this place. That same lady that right there that I'd made mention of early, Miss Parker, she's a staple of this church. And there's several of you out here who are a staple of this church. You've seen the ebbs and the flows. You've seen the great times and the bad times. But if we were to do a checklist right now, this is a time where we're seeking some answers. And I want to give you, from the Word of God, the answers that God has presented to me to be steadfast. And without wailing and without sobbing over it, I'm going to stand firm and continue to teach, preach, sing the gospel. And guess what I had to do before I did all of that? I had to go repent. I had to repent and say, Lord, here am I. Send me, as Isaiah said. Send me. Let's take a look at all of these pieces of this armament that God put on the man of God to, in a spiritual sense, to fight the battle. We're going to start from the top of the head. Paul doesn't actually put them in that order, but if you allow me to, we're going to start from the head and start and go down and see what God does for the soldier, the Christian soldier. Did you know you're a soldier? Paul says we fight against flesh and we don't fight against flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers of the cosmos. Spiritual darkness that we live in. First one. Right on top of your head, you're gonna have something that football players like to wear. It's called a helmet. So they have a helmet on top of their head. Sometimes it was made out of bronze, it was made out of iron, it was made out of, some of them were gold. I wouldn't want to wear that one. It may be expensive, but it ain't going to protect you very much. There's a lesson in that right there. Money ain't going to protect you that much, spiritually. But on that head, you have the five senses. You have your eyes that you see with. The gospel says, keep your eyes upon Jesus. The Bible tells us to not look for earthly lucre. Your eyes need to be protected. As the enemy comes at you, he talks about the darts, and we're going to refer to the darts quite often. You would have to be really, really defended for your face and your head to not get hit. You want to protect that head. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible speaks that, be ye therefore sober-minded. He says, make sure that your mind be renewed in the spirit. He tells us that we need to have our mind fixed upon the gospel. The helmet of salvation is where it begins. If you're not born again, you can't know what we Christians are talking about because you're not spiritually minded. How do you become spiritually minded? There comes a day when you have to look before an almighty God and say, Lord, I don't know you. Well, guess what he'll say in return? You can know me. And that knowing is not just knowing about something. It's being entranced into something. You know your wife, gentlemen, but you know her, well, maybe not. But not as much as she knows you, bless God. But we know our spouses because we have an intimate relationship with them. God wants to know you in that instance. He wants to know you through salvation. And it begins in the knowledge of him. In the Old Testament, the Word of God says that knowledge is... went a blank. I knew I'd do this. But God wants us to be wise in our actions, and that wisdom comes from the knowledge of God. Do you know him? Because I can't go on to the rest of this story if you don't know him first. You need the protection of the helmet of God. Amen. Salvation. Once you're saved, and then there's that nurturing process of getting into the Word, going to Sunday school, going to church, hearing and hanging out with Christian brethren, you become binded together, and you begin to grow in the faith. So what is faith? Once again, the book of Hebrews tells us, faith is a substance of things hoped for with the evidence of things not seen. So you've got the knowledge of God now, and he wants you to walk by knowledge? No, the Bible says walk by what? By faith. So you were in faith when you accepted him. Now you've got to grow in that faith as a newborn believer. And Paul said, as one of the weapons that we have, you need to walk and have the shield of faith. So that soldier now, he has two pieces of protection now. He has a shield that he can thwart off the devil's fiery darts. Let me tell you something about a fiery dart. I did some research on that. And a fiery dart can best be explained when you talk about the cowboys and Indians. Okay, so these Indians, they're riding along and they're protecting their land. And they're shooting these arrows at the cavalry, United States cavalry. And they're shooting these arrows, and they can kill some men, right? They can kill them. Sword, you know, the darts, they hit them, and they pierce them, and they get hit. But what they'll do is they'll dip that arrow into some tar, a bucket of tar. You've seen it on them old westerns, right, guys? And what they do, they don't shoot the people with them. They'll shoot the what? The wagons. They'll shoot them fiery darts over the wagons. And the wagons catch on fire. Well, guess what that does? It hits you at home. It hits your possessions. Many of our possessions here lately have been taken away from us due to the COVID epidemic. We can't feel free to do what we normally do. Satan has indirected, not attacked us as individuals as much as he has attacked the people around us or the things around us. He's very crafty in his works. Hold that shield of faith. Hold that shield of faith that tells us, Satan, you cannot enter my home. I'm a big proponent of a man. Now, this ain't a misogynist thing, people. Don't get mad at me. But I believe the man of God needs to be the man of God of the house. I believe that when spiritual things attack, the man needs to step up and say, no more. Well, what does that mean, Brother Tim? That means your prayer life, man. I'm going to pick on y'all a bit. Pick on myself a bit. Our prayer life needs to be so in tune with God that when outside forces come in, that we know how to pray the right prayer to get a hold of God. When the money ain't there, what are you doing differently that you should? What are you doing different? Man of God needs to step up and say, hey, we got to do this. We got to cut out that. We got to give this. Groceries ain't coming in. Can you do some side work? Can you go and do things that help bring some cash in? Pray it in. God will give it to you if you follow him. If you follow him. There's things that happen. And it takes the shield of faith to fight off what Satan is throwing at you. Be prepared for it. And I really like this one. The breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to keep going back over. Got the helmet. You have the shield. And you have a breastplate of righteousness. Now, does that mean you walk around looking to all of your lost buddies as got it all together? Is that what righteousness means? No. Praise God, it's Jesus' righteousness imputed into us. You're a Christian, but we're still just as wicked as the devil many times. I let my coworkers down at work so often. It embarrasses myself to know how I am. The first person I look at in the morning is the mirror, and I see myself. And I wish that I could be like some of you guys out there. Especially them stalwarts of seniors like my dad, Brother Stubberville. I want to be like y'all. I want to be like y'all. I want that righteousness that says, I want to be the kind of man that people will come to me and say, what does the Bible say about this? Men, do you have that desire? Pray you do. Ladies, are you able to help a young lady who is struggling with drugs and alcohol, sex, whatever? Can you rightly divide the word of truth and give her some righteousness that she needs so desperately in these times that we live in? I pray you do. I pray you have a desire. Maybe you're not there yet, but you have the desire to seek wisdom and be someone that can give wise counsel to younger folks. Pressing on. I've been told that I can't preach very long. And then any of y'all that ever eat dinner with me, you'll know I'll talk all through. I don't even know what that clock says up there, bless God. And I love this one. The shoes of the gospel of the preparation of peace. That's a long one. That's a $25 title on that. You got saved. You're defending off Satan. You've got the breastplate of righteousness, where you can be godly counsel. And now you have these leather-strapped shoes on your feet. How in the world is that even remotely important, Paul? But God told me why it was very important. When they go to battle, the body is not the only part that a warrior will go after. A good warrior knows how to attack the horse's legs. They will attack the naked part of the body, which is from the girdle down, with a slash to the leg. And if you can't walk, you can't fight. But I think Paul put it in there for a deeper message than that. You got to prepare your feet with the gospel of peace. It kind of goes hand in hand with the breastplate. When you need to know the Word of God, study the Word of God, be instant in season, out of season, you're preparing your feet to do what? To walk and go. The Lord God, He's told us many times to follow Him and do what? Go. Go and share the gospel. Not just have it so that you'll feel good about what you can do. Oh, I know this passage of Scripture. I know this chapter. I know. Well, there's a word that rhymes with no, and it's go. Go share it. Go share the gospel of peace. There's a lot of people who are hurting, who are seeking peace. Be prepared to give them a word that they need so desperately. Put those leather shoes on and get to running. Get to doing. Well, faith, Brother Tim, is just faith. Faith is not an action. Well, yes, it is after you're born again. He says go. We need to be up and about the Father's business, church. We need to be up and about going and using those gifts that each one of us has, that we can go and share the peace of Almighty God. And lastly, the sword of truth. Yeah, we can get up and go, and we can go do all we want to as Smoke Rise Baptist Church. But if we're not sharing the truth of the Word of God, a lot of people have a version of the Word of God. That's why we have so many denominations out there. Everybody has a opinion of the Word of God. But knowing how to rightly divide the Word of truth is what God intends for us to do to go. Find yourself in a good class that has a good teacher and let them mentor you. I can tell you right now, I brag on my dad. That's why I had him come here. I brag on my dad. He was a great mentor to me. I grew up under and I may call some names that y'all know. I don't know if you do know them or not. But Brother Mike Ragland. Does anybody here know that there is a youth camp in the Hayden community? I didn't think so. Brother Mike has kept it way too quiet. Since 1987, right up from Rickwood Caverns, up the hill, depending on which way you go, there is not a sign or anything, but there's a little dirt road that goes over to a 100-acre youth, Baptist youth camp called Living Waters Youth Camp. In 1987, I was saved under that ministry. And Brother Mike has been there ever since. His son, Jeremy Ragland, has taken it over. And, yeah, a lot of people don't know about it. They're like, what? What are you talking about? But, yes, there is a Baptist youth camp winning souls to Jesus every single summer from June all the way to August. And most people in Hayden don't even know about it. I don't know if that's wrong or right that nobody knows about it, but it's there and people are being saved. I was saved there, and Brother Mike was one of my first pastor mentors who taught me a lot. And then God, when I was in my 20s, He took me from ministry of a music ministry, and I started going to Central Baptist Church in Gardendale. And God just ratcheted it up, the intelligence, the spiritual backbone and intelligence of a man named Gerald Brown that just blew me away. I wanted so much to be like him. I wanted to be like him. You notice that I keep saying I wanted to be like that one, but God broke me down when I married Jennifer. She's one of my great mentors. And Tim, you got to quit being these other men and you be you. Well, I don't like myself enough to be like me. Paul said the same thing about himself. He said, the things I would do, I do not. And the things I want to do, I don't do. But the things that you tell me not to do, I end up doing. He said, I wrestle constantly with evil and good. Are you that way, church? I think I'm going to cut this shorter than I thought I would. I don't know what a time is supposed to be, but we're going to have an altar call right now. Should our elders come up? Musicians come up? I may just be butchering everything right now, but are you at peace, church? Is your heart... I'm not asking you, are you backslidden? I'm not asking, are you not walking with God? I'm just saying, is peace not where you need to be? We sometimes make our altars into steps these days, and that's fine. It's a comfortable place to kneel and seek God. Would there be anybody in here today that would say, elders, Brother Tim, Brother Red, I need somebody to pray with me. I just need some comfort. I need some stability. Yes, sir.